Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin, daf Nun. We left off daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, pretty much all the way down on the bottom of the Amud, about 5-6 lines from the bottom. Today's shiur is going to focus on a number of topics. So first, we're going to talk about, we're going to continue the discussion that we began yesterday, speaking about the various types of fat which may be effective at sealing punctures. Only certain types of fat may seal punctures effectively, not other types of fat. So we'll talk about the quality of the fat on different parts of the animal, whether that fat is able to seal a puncture or not, whether it's only chalev of a only the chalev that's fit to eat that can seal a puncture, or whether other fat can seal a puncture as well. We are then going to talk about treifas on different types of the on different parts of the animal as well. We're going to talk about the treifa on the inner paunch. We're going to talk about a treifa on the intestines. We're going to talk about a treifa on something called an outer paunch. We're going to see what the difference is. Where is the inner paunch? Where is the outer paunch? So again, just a lot today on various aspects of treifa by an animal. And that's going to take us all the way down to the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. So we left off again, Mem Tes Amud Beis. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom, smack in the middle of the line. The first word on the line is Detanya. We are at the words Amar Rav Nachman. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Chelev Asoi Kekova, Chelev, which is made, which is shaped like a helmet over a part of the animal, ain't a so same. It is not effective at sealing a puncture wound. So says the Gemara, Hecha, but where is this fat that's shaped like a helmet? You're telling me about fat shaped like a helmet. Where in the animal is this fat that's shaped like a helmet? So Amar Lei, Chiti de Karkisha. Some say that it's the wheat-like nodules of fat which are found on the rectum. Amar Lei, Tarfasha de Liba. And some say that it's the pericardium, which is some layer of fat that's found on the heart. But wherever this fat may be, if it's the fat that's shaped like a helmet, it's not effective at sealing a puncture wound. So Amar Rava, Shamet Minei de Rav Nachman Tarti. So says Rava, we see from Rav Nachman's halacha two things. So chimtza ubar chimtza. There's a fat called chimtza, and there's a fat called bar chimtza. So Rashi points out that shneim v'chelev shal gabe akeva l'kama mefarish lehu. So they're both the fats on the abomasum, but we don't know which one is called chimtza, which one is called bar chimtza. So it sort of reminds me of kamsa and bar kamsa for whatever reason, but there are these two fats, chad sasim v'chad lo sasim. One is effective at sealing a puncture, the other one is not effective at sealing a puncture. V'liyadana haiminayu, but I don't know which one is effective and which one is not effective. And Rav Huna bar Chininah, Rav Huna bereid Rav Nachman Amar bar Amar. So they say that bar chimtza sasim. So bar chimtza is the one that is effective at sealing a puncture. Chimtza lo sasim. The one that's called chimtza is the one that's not effective at sealing a puncture. And Amar Rav Tavos. So Rav Tavos gives a helpful mnemonic for simanech yofek koach haben mikoach haav. That the koach of the son, i.e. bar chimtza, is better than the koach of the av, better than chimtza plain, because plain chimtza is not so same, but bar chimtza is so same. So says the Gemara, hai chimtza v'hai bar chimtza, but which one is chimtza and which one is bar chimtza? So you're telling me there are two types of fat. You're telling me that one of them is so same and one of them is not. You're even telling me that bar chimtza is so same and that chimtza is not so same. Where is the chimtza? Where is the bar chimtza? So tashma, amar Rav Nachman, inu mechal achli. So we, meaning the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, we eat the bar chimtza because we hold that it is chelev tahar. This is along the lines of what we said yesterday, which is that chelev tahar is so same. Chelev tameh is ain't so same. That if you ever have a chelev that is so same, then we know that it's part of the permitted fats of the animal. So the Bnei Eretz Yisrael goes so far as to eat the bar chimtza. Ulididan, however, to the Bnei Bavel, mistam nami lo sasim. Are we going to say that it's not even so same? So in other words, what Rashi says is that it doesn't really make sense to have a machlokas. If you have a machlokas, we always try to establish the machlokas in the narrowest range possible. And over here, what comes out is that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, whatever this Bar Chimsa is, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael say that it is so same a puncture, and therefore they hold that it's Chelev Tar. They hold that they were allowed to eat it. But in Bavel, they had a Mesora that not only is it not so same a puncture, but they wouldn't even eat it. In other words, it's the polar opposite of what the Bnei Eretz Yisrael hold about this Bar Chimsa. So says the Gemara, but we still don't know what we're talking about, what Chimsa, what Bar Chimsa, where they are. So says the Gemara, Da Akashte Kuli Amalo Pligi Diyasar. The fat that's on the bow, and the best way to describe this is by referring you to the picture here in the Yard Scroll by footnote 2, where it shows the abomasum, which is again is the cava, and it shows these two types of fat. So basically, if you can imagine, for those who don't have the picture, there's a piece of fat that's shaped like a boomerang, let's say. And the part of fat, the layer of fat that's on the inside of the boomerang is what the Gemara calls the bowstring, the ayasra, and the part of fat, the piece of fat that's on the outside of the boomerang is what the Gemara calls akashta, that it's like a bow, because like the outside of that boomerang-shaped thing, if you imagine that you're pulling back a bow and an arrow, maybe that's the better description. It's shaped like a bowstring, so the outside is called the bow, and the inside is called the bowstring. Okay, so the akashta of the bow, Kuli Amalo Pligi Di Asr, everybody agrees that it's Asr. Ki Pligi Da Yarsa, Di Ayasra. However, they argue by the fat of the bowstring, in other words, by the fat on the inside of the abomasum, is that mutter or not? But Ikadamri, others say that it's the opposite. The Ayasra, that the fat of the bowstring, Kuli Amalo Pligi Di Shari. Everybody agrees that that inner fat is going to be mutter, because everybody agrees that the inner fat is going to be mutter. Now, why would everybody agree that the inner fat is going to be mutter? Because we saw Machlokas yesterday, what type of properties fat has to have in order for the fat to be Asr L'Achila. So we saw Machlokas. One Mandi Amar held, Rabbi Yishmael held, that the fat is Asr L'Achila if it's like a membrane that could be peeled away. Rabbi Akiva said it has to have a third criteria in order for it to be usher. It has to be draped over an internal organ of the animal, and it has to be like a membrane, and it has to be able to be peeled away. And so this fat that's on the ayasra, this fat that's on the bowstring, like on the inside of the abomasum, is fat that's not draped over it. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not fat that's usher. So, Kuli Amalo Pligi Dishari, everybody agrees that it's mutter because they all like Rabbi Akiva that the only time it's usher is when it's draped and this fat isn't draped. Ki Pligi Da Kashta, it's the fat on the outside. That's the fat that they argue about. Yodi Amar Rav Avya, Amar Rabbi Ami Mekamtsin. So just like Rabbi Avya, Amar Rabbi Ami said Mekamtsin, that we could skim off some of the fat of the bowstring, of the ayasra, and then we eat the rest. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yanai Misham Zaken Echad Mekamtsin. And also Rabbi Yanai says in the name of one random Zaken, that Mekamtsin, that we can also skim off a little bit of the fat and we can eat the rest. Amar Rav Avya, V'chein Nekamed Rav Ami. So I was before Rav Ami. Come to Vavile. They skimmed off some of the fat and they gave him to eat, v'yachal, and he ate it. Shamed Rav Chanina, havikok amed Rav Chanina, the shamish of Rav Chanina, the attendant to Rav Chanina was standing in front of Rav Chanina. Amar lei kamotz havli de'echal, and he said, skim off some of the fat of the bowstring and give it to me so that I could eat it. Chazia davi kamachasem. So he saw that the attendant was very hesitant to do this. So amar lei bavla'at. Oh, you're from Bavel? And in Bavel, remember, we had said that what the Bnei Eretz Yisrael hold that the Bar Chimsa, in other words, the fat of the bowstring, is mutter, and therefore they hold that it's so same. In Bavel, they hold that it's not so same, and they wouldn't even eat it. So Rabbi Chanina saw that his attendant was reluctant to eat the fat, so he intuited that he was a Ben Bavel. So he said, Bavlat, you're from Bavel, and therefore Gum Shaday, and therefore forget about it, don't skim off the fat and give it to me, just throw it away. And out of respect for his minug, not to eat the fat of the bar chimtza. So there were two possible reasons why Rav Chanina told his attendant to throw it away. One possible reason is because his attendant couldn't give Rabbi Chanina something that the attendant thought was treifa and therefore was usher to eat, or Rabbi Chanina, for himself, didn't want to be eating something in front of the servant, in front of the attendant, that the attendant thought was usher. In other words, either it sounds like it was some sort of chashad, or it was almost some sort of derivative of a lifnei iver to have the attendant give Rabbi Chanina something that wasn't mutter to eat according to the attendant. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Vayter. So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, b'nei ma'ayin shenikvu, if you have intestines that are punctured, v'leicha sotman, and the fluid of the intestines is effective at sealing the puncture, then k'shera, then it's going to be kosher. So my leicha, what's this fluid that comes out of the intestines that is good to seal the puncture? So Rav Kahana, sirka de ma'ayetz, the sticky fluid, the nafik agav duchta, that comes out of the intestine. If you ever put pressure, if you ever squeeze an intestine, the sticky liquid that comes out, that's effective at sealing the intestine. So gemiri chavre de rabiava mi rabava, umana rabzeira. So the friend of rabava learned from rabava, and who was that friend? It was rabzeira. V'amrila chavre de rabzeira mi rabzeira. Others say it was the friend of rabzeira learned from rabzeira, manu, and who was the friend? Rabbi Abba. And they say that maybe the friend was Rabbi Abba. So braid Rav Chia. The friend was Rabbi Abba, braid Rav Chia bar Abba. Hachi amar Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan said. Halacha k'rem shum gamliel betreifa. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Betreifa, who said that the b'nei ma'ayin that have a hole in it, the intestines that have a hole in it, if you have the sticky liquid that's squeezed out of the intestines, that sticky liquid is effective at sealing a puncture. The halacha k'reb Shimon ba'avel, and the halacha is also like Reb Shimon ba'avel by Avelis. So halacha k'reb Shimon Betreifa, so halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by Treifa ha'damara, and that's the halacha that we just said about the intestine being, the puncture in the intestine being filled and being sealed by the sticky liquid that comes out of it. Could the Rabbi Shimon be Avel Mahi? What's the halacha that's like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by Avel? Tithnan, we learn as follows. Kol shlosha yamim arishonim, the entire first 3 days of Shiva, if they're already sitting Shiva in the base Avel, but there's one guy who has to be sitting Shiva with them who's not yet there, so bami makam karov, if the person then joins within the first 3 days and he has come from a makam karov, then mona imahem, then he can count with them. In other words, he picks up from whatever day in the Shiva they are counting, and even though he didn't start sitting with them, he could still count with them. And the reason is because there's this concept of base avel, that the Shiva goes after the base avel, and once they started sitting already in the base avel, if the person joining late is coming from a makam karov, then he can just join with them. He doesn't have to start counting from day one. Mimakam rachok mona latzmo. However, if he comes from a faraway place, if he was nowhere near the Beis Avel at the outset of Shiva, then he has to count for himself. He cannot take their count. Mikan veilech, however, if he joins the Beis Avel anytime after the third day of Shiva, afilu bo mimakam karov mona latzmo, even if he comes from a close place, from a place that's nearby, he has to count for himself. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, afilu biyom ha-shvi, even if it's on the seventh day of Shiva, bo mimakom karov mona imahem. That if he comes from a makom karov, he counts with them. And again, the reason is that everything follows by Avelus, the house of the Avel. Everything follows the base Avel, and therefore, if you're going to distinguish between a guy who comes from Makom Karov and Makom Rachok, it doesn't make sense to distinguish first 3 days versus the last 4 days of Shiva. No, because the point is that you always follow the base Avel if you were in a Makom Karov, and therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, even if you come on the seventh day, if you came from a Makom Karov, you're going to count with the base Avel. So Amar Mandahu, so someone says, meaning that the people who were Masadar, the Gemara, knew that an Amora said this, but didn't know who said it. So Amar Mandahu, so somebody said, Izki ve'esek v'agamri l'shmaiti mepumia demara. I should be so lucky to go and to learn the teaching to learn this Shmaitza from the master. In other words, from Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, because he was the one who reported the Mesorah that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in these two halachos. So I should be so fortunate to, come and learn the halacha from him. I should just point out that Rashi said, when we talk about makom karov versus makom rachok, what does it mean that it's a makom karov? It means that it's a mahalach yom echad. That's what Rashi says. So anything that's a mahalach yom echad is makom karov. Anything that's more than a mahalach yom echad is going to be considered makom rachok. Okay, but getting back to what we were saying, so somebody said, I wish I could hear this from Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Kisolik ashkei l'Rav Abba dreid Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, he actually found Rabbi Abba dreid Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Amar lei, and he said to him, Amar mar halacha k'ram Shimon Liel b'treifa. So he said, did you really report that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel by treifa? Amar lei, ha'ein halacha amri. No, I said, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel by treifa, that the puncture hole in the intestine is not filled with a sticky liquid that comes out of the intestine. Kir Rabbi Shimon ba'avel, did you say that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ba'avel? Rabbi Shimon ba'avel mai. How about the second part of the tradition where it was reported to us that you said that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon by avel? Samar lei pluktaninu. It's a machlokes. The itmar Rav Chista amar halacha. V'chein amar Rav Yochanan halacha. The Rav Chista and Rav Yochanan say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon by avel. Rav Nachman amar ein halacha. And Rav Nachman says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon b'Yavel. Ve'ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'treifa. Now the Gemara paskins that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'treifa. The halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'Yavel. And the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon by Avel. So it's a split sock. We don't paskin like him by treifa. We do paskin like him by Avel. Diamar Shmuel halacha k'divrei amekil b'Yavel. Because Shmuel always says that the halacha is like the halacha is like the person who's making, like the shita that's mekil by avel, and Rabbi Shimon was the one who was mekil because the Tanakama held that the person who's bami makom racha can only count with a base avel if he comes within the first 3 days of shiva. If he comes after that, he has to count for himself. Rabbi Shimon was mekil and said, no, so long as you're coming from makom karov, even if you're coming on the last day of shiva, you could still count with the people who are in the base avel. So there's a Tosfos Amoid Katan that explains why the case is, or maybe what, first of all, what the circumstances are in which we say halacha k'divrei amekil ba'avel. So Tosfos Ashita is that halacha k'divrei amekil is only by a machlokas tanom. That if you have a machlokas tanom and one shita's mekil and one shita's machmer, so you paskan like the tana who is mekil. However, by a machlokas amarom, by a machlokas rishonim, we wouldn't necessarily say a klal apsak that halacha k'divrei amekil ba'avel. However, the Beis Yosef says that it's shayich for any type of machlokas, whether it's a machlokas tanom or a machlokas amarom or rishonim or achronim. The halacha is always like the divrei amekil ba'avel. And then there's another shita that holds that the halachas k'divrei amekil only by a machlokas tanoim or machlokas amoraim, but not by a machlokas haposkim. So there's an argument itself what we mean when we say halacha k'divrei amekil b'yavel. Others, there's also in Indian, there's also a dian as to why the halacha is k'divrei amekil b'yavel, whether it's the fact that avelus as we observe it is all drabanan, and therefore halacha k'divrei amekil b'yavel is a different way of saying suffik drabanan lekula. Because if you have a machlokas, we don't know what a paskin, we always paskin lekula. So is that part of the general klal apsak of suffik drabanan lekula, or is it a separate standalone concept that's applicable only to avel, that by avel, irrespective of the fact that it may be a mitzvah midrabanan or a din drabanan, the halacha would always be k'divrei amekil b'avel. Okay, so we saw this two statements of Rabbi Shimon, one by treifa, we don't paskin like that, one by avel, we do paskin like that. So we're about halfway down in the wide lines now. So Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya, so says Rav Simi Bar Chiya, makifin bivnei ma'ayin. We could compare a puncture wound in the intestines. So what does it mean? Makifen. So Rashi explains him nimsu nekuven veinan yodim and kodem shchita. If we see a hole in the intestines, we don't know if the hole was there before shchita, meaning it renders the animal a treifa v'im liakar shchita, or if it happened after shchita, in which case the animal is kosher. So nokven nekav akar betzido. So what we do is, after the animal's already shechted and we have the intestines in front of us, we puncture another hole right there. Veroin imarei and shoving shera. We look to see what that other hole looks like. If the second hole looks like the first hole, then the animal's kosher, because we know that the first hole also occurred, was punctured after the shechita. And if not, if they don't appear to be similar, then we know that the first hole actually occurred, came into existence before the shechita. So says the Gemara that Hanu b'nei Ma'ayin, so back in the Gemara, so Hanu b'nei Ma'ayin, there were these intestines, Yosu l'kame de Rava, who came before Rava, afkinu v'lo idmu. So they made another hole, but they didn't appear to be similar. So they were ready to declare the animal a trefa. So that's a Rabbi Sharsha b'rei, so Rabbi Sharsha b'rei de Rava came, and mamash meshbahu, he rubbed the second hole that they made, the idmi, and then itaka did look similar to the first hole. So amar lei minalacha, he goes, wow, what a magic trick. How did you know to do this trick that you were, that you knew to rub the second hole, and now the second hole is similar in appearance to the first hole? So amar lei kamayada mishamshu bahani mekame delese lekame. He said, it's common sense. I figured they shechted this animal, they found a hole in the small intestine. They must have given it to a bunch of different butchers and a bunch of different rabbis to check before it came to us. How many people must have handled this this hole of the intestine and would have probed the hole and whatever? So I figure in order to make an apples to apples comparison, where I'm actually testing to see that the second hole looks like the first hole, I figure that we have to rub it and handle it a lot as well. And now indeed it does look like the first hole. So says the Gemara, Amar Le, Chachim Bari Betrefas Kud Rav Yochanan. Ah, so says Rava to Rav Misharshi, his son, you are a Chacham, you're extremely smart in Trefas like Rav Yochanan. The Mefarshim debate whether it means that you're smart in Trefas like Rav Yochanan, like you're smart in Trefas as Rav Yochanan was in Trefas, or you are smart in Trefas as Rav Yochanan was generally. But either way, it was a very high compliment that Rava paid to his son. Says the Gemara Navaita, Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, de Amri Tavayu, Makifin Berea. Not only do we compare holes in the intestine, but we also compare Sirchus on the lung. So Amar Rava lo Amran Ela Beosu Aruga. The only time we could compare by the lung is if we're comparing blemishes that are, or holes that are in different lobes on the same row. Remember, a couple of days ago we said there were five lobes in the lung, three on the right side, two on the left side. So you can only compare trephas from one lobe on one side to another lobe on the other side, but you can't compare from the right side to the left side. Avo me aruga la aruga lo, but from row to row you can't compare. Vilkasa filo me aruga la aruga. The halacha is even from one row to the other row you could compare. Midaka la daka, as long as it's the same type of animal. For behema daka you have to compare it to another behema daka. Migasa la gasa, and for behema gasa you could compare it to a behema gasa. Avalo migasa la daka, but you can't show me a lung of a behema daka and then try to compare it to a blemish on a lung of a behema gasa, of a big animal, to see whether they look the same, because obviously the anatomy is going to be different. Velomi daka lagasa, nor can you compare from daka to gasa. Habayi v'rover dami tavayu, makifin bekana. We could also compare two punctures or two different potential trephas in a kana in the trachea. So amar apapa lo amran elabiosa chulia. They only said it regarding a band on the regarding a band, each band on the trachea. And if you look in the picture over here, the trachea is a pipe, and there are what I would call like lines or striations here on this pipe. So from one striation to another, from one band to another, you could compare. Within a band, you could compare. Ava mechulia lechulia lo, but from one band to another, you can't compare. Vilchaza filo mechulia lechulia, but halacha says the Gemara is that you can compare even from one band to the other. It's all part of the same trachea. Umi barchulia lebarchulia, and from one sub-band. Sub-band is just describing the part of the trachea that's on the underside of the animal, that's on the bottom part of the animal, and from one subband to another subband, avalomi cholia labar cholia, avalomi bar cholia cholia. But we can't compare a blemish that's on the top side of the trachea to a blemish that's on the bottom side of the trachea, nor vice versa. So Amr Ziri says, Ziri, chalchulis shenikva, a rectum which has a hole in it, kshera, it's kosher, Hoil v'yerechayim amidos osa, because the rectum in the animal anatomically is right next to the hip bone, and even if there's a hole in the rectum, the hip bone is going to keep the rectum in place. V'kama, how much can be missing? Samar Rabbi Loi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mokom adebek berubo. In the place where the rectum adheres to the hip bone, then so long as rove of the rectum is still there, the animal is not a trefa. If rove of the rectum is gone, then the animal is a trefa. Shaloba makam adevek, but if we're talking about a part of the rectum that's not right near where it adheres to the hip bone, v'mashu, then even if a mashu is missing, then it's going to be a trefa. Amru rabbana kamei derava mishmei derav Nachman. So the rabbi said in the name of Rabba, said this before Rabba in the name of Rav Nachman, Amar lav mi amina lechu lo tislu bei buke srike. Did I not say that you shouldn't hang empty pitchers in front of me? In other words, this comment that you made is ridiculous. It's not true. Hachi Amar Rav Nachman. This is what Rav Nachman said. Mokom adebek. The mokom adebek. If it's in the place where the rectum adheres to the hip bone, it's not that you need the rove to be there. Afilu nitel kulo kosher, even if the entire thing is missing, it's still going to be kosher. Really, the entire thing, the entire rectum could be missing? Not quite. V'hu sh'nishtayir bo kadei tfisa. That's only if a finger breath is left. V'kama amar abaya kamalei bata b'ture, like the width of a finger by an ox. So in other words, you told me the halacha that if rove of the rectum is there in the place where the rectum adheres to the hip bone, then the animal is not a trefa. And I'm telling you the halacha is if it's in the place where the rectum adheres to the hip bone, even more than rove could be missing, and it's still not a trefa. All we need is that there's a finger breath of the rectum left. And that's talking about by a big animal. That's talking about by an ox. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaiter, four lines down at the two dots. Hakeres apnimi, the inner paunch. So we're going to talk now from here until the end of the daf, something about the inner paunch, and then the Gemara is going to start talking about the outer paunch. So Amarav Yuda, Amarav, Hey Nosan Barshila, Reish Tabche de Tzipori, Nosan Barshila, the head butcher of Tzipori, was made Lefnei Rebbe, Mishum Rav Nosan, Ezui Akeres Hapnimi. What is the inner paunch? So says the Gemara, Sanya Divi. It's a place in the animal called Sanya Divi, which the Art Scroll translates as the cecum, which is all part of the intestine. You could see it here in the picture. In the picture here that's in the Art Scroll. But Rashi here says, interesting, why is it called Sani Divi? What does this mean? So it says Rashi, Karshtia Budil, Lashon Mori, V'hu asui kikis v'sasim barosho. It's like a pocket that's closed at its end. V'kach matzasi ba'alef beishal Rabbi Mochir budil she'itzler. V'loshon sanya divi livushom makam ma'us v'chachush, because it's a disgusting place. It's where all the waste collects in the intestine. V'afilu l'ze'evim, and even the ze'evim, even a wolf who's going to come attack an animal and tear the animal limb from limb and eat the animal, the wolf will leave over the cecum. Why? Because that's the part of the intestine that's the most disgusting part of the intestine. So even the wolf isn't going to eat it. V'chol sharek eres korechitzon. So that end of the intestine is called the inner paunch. The rest of the intestine, says Rashi, is called the outer paunch. Vishiro barov, and the shear is with a rove. So as we'll see in the Gemara, that's going to come up later today's daf. Lishnach rine shamati min hafnatsa atzma humokum shemenakvim sham tavachem akeres umatzien aperesh. That the inner paunch is the place where the butchers make a hole and get and eject the excrement or the waste from the intestine after they shech the animal. Umatzina feresh mokom shehan sonui zov. And it's called Sine Divi, not from the Lashon Ze'ev, not from the Lashon of Wolf, but from the Lashon of Zav, because the butchers make a hole and they remove all of the waste matter that's in the intestine through this hole. Rashi likes the first pshat better, but whatever it is, it's called, translated as the cecum, part of the intestine. That's what we call as the inner paunch. V'cheinam Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, back in the Gemara, V'cheinam Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Sanya Divi. The cecum. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, istamuchta de karsa. It's the stomach. It's what we call the stomach. Ravasi Amar Rav Yochanan Mokom Tsar Yesh Bekeres. There is a narrow place in the stomach. Veine Yadea Ezehu. And I don't know where this narrow place is. In other words, what's the inner paunch? The inner paunch is a narrow area of the stomach, and I don't know where it is. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Nafal Karsa Bebira. The paunch fell into a pit. What does that mean? Rashi says, you're not helping me. I'm asking where the inner paunch is. You're saying, oh, there's a narrow place in the stomach. I don't know where it is. And that's because you didn't help me. I want to know in the intestine, on an animal, anatomically, where's the inner paunch? So Rav Acha, Rav Ava, Rav Asi, Mina Meitzar Ulamata. It's from where it gets narrow in the intestines and onward and beneath. Rav Yaakov Bar Nachmeni Amar Shmuel, Rav Yaakov Bar Nachmeni says in the name of Shmuel, Mokom She'ein Bo Milas. It's the part of the intestine that doesn't have any woolly papillae covering the intestine. Rav Yavina Amar Gneva Mishmei Derav, Tefach Beveshet Samach Lekeres, that the tefach, the last tefach of the esophagus, all the way near the stomach, Zui Keres Apnimi, that's called the inner paunch. So Amri Bamarava Mishmei Derav Yosef Bar Chanina, so they said in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, Kola Keres Kulo, Zui Keres Apnimi, that all of the paunch is what's called the inner paunch. Vezu Keres Achitzon, so in that case, what's the Keres Achitzon? What's the outer paunch? Basarachofe es rov hakeres, that it's the flesh that covers all of the keres, but the actual stomach, that's all called keres apnimi. Rabba Baravuna Amar, Rabba Baravuna says, mafrata, that the keres apnimi is the mafrata. So, my mafrata, what is the mafrata? So, Amar Rav Avya, hecha de pari tavche, that part which the butchers expose when they slit open the belly of an animal, the part of the stomach that's exposed, that's called the keres hapnimi. Okay, now, benarda avdi kerabba baravuna. In Narda, they did like Rava Baravuna, who held like that the mafrata, that part of the stomach that's exposed, that's the keres hapnimi. And nafkamina is that the keres hapnimi, so we would have to go back all the way to the mission at the beginning of the parak to teach, to remind us of this, but the keres hapnimi is going to be a trefa if there's even a slight nekev. If there's even a nekev of a kol shehu by the keres hapnimi, the animal is going to be a trefa. However, by the keres achitzon, it's only a trefa if it's missing rove of the outer paunch. So in Arda, they held like Rabba Baravuna that the keres hapnimi is the mafrata. Amrle Rav Ashi la meimar, so said Rav Ashi ta meimar, kol hani shmeitz samai. What about all these other shitos? Amrle kulu shaycham b'derava baravuna. Well, they're all included in Rava Baravuna, because we had a couple of shitos in the Gemara that were very specific as to where the keres hapnimi is. And what the Gemara is saying now is that Rabba Baravuna just simply said, oh, it's the part of the stomach that's exposed when the butcher slices it open. So a lot of those very specific parts of the stomach are included in that which Rabba Baravuna says is exposed when the butchers slice open the stomach. However, v'drav asi amrav yochanan mai, how about rav asi amrav yochanan? Rav asi amrav yochanan, we don't know necessarily is included in Rabba Baravuna. Rav asi amrav yochanan is the one who said that it's the narrow place in the stomach, but I don't know where it is. Summer Lake, Kfar Pirsha, Rav Acha Bar Ava. No, Rav Acha Bar Ava already explained where that is. In other words, the Hainu Min HaMeitzar Lamata, that he said, no, it's from the narrow part of the stomach and below and beneath, Vahu Keneged Mafratahi. And that is the same thing as the mafrata. That's the part of the stomach that is exposed when the butcher slices open an animal. So, Ravavina udebnei marava mai. How about Ravina and the bnei marava who said that damar keres apnimi beveshet? Ravina who said that the keres apnimi is actually at the end of the esophagus, and the bnei marava who said that the entire stomach is called the keres apnimi. So, what about them? So, Amar lei hani vaday pligi. Ah, so they they definitely argue, because what's apparent from the Gemara, from Rava Bar Rav Huna, is that the Keres HaPnimi is a place where the stomach is exposed when the butcher slices open an animal. So what's definitely not included in that is the entire stomach, because it can't be the entire stomach as the Keres HaPnimi if it's only the part of the stomach that's exposed when the butcher slices the animal. And the other thing that it can't include is it can't include the esophagus, because it's a part of the stomach and not a part of the esophagus. So Rashi over here Paskins, if you look in Rashi, it's three lines down in the wide lines. So my the kivan the ifsa kalilchasa, because we don't paskin the alocha of dinan lechumra, we should paskin the chumra v'tarfinam b'chola keres b'nekev v'mashu k'bnei marava. We should paskin like the Bnei Eretz Yisrael and make an animal a treifa if there's a nekev even of a kolshu, even of a mashu, anywhere in the entire stomach, for fear that the entire stomach is what the Mishnah refers to as the keres apnimi, which becomes a treifa with a mashu. Kol anech umiu, kol anech treifa, sanan lo tarchina lemivdek basrayu. However, now says Rashi, very important la halacha, all these other treifas, we don't have to go check for them. The kol kamad lo mishkcha nazlinam basaruba, because so long as there's no reyes in the animal, we go basaruba. And rove animals don't have a problem, let's say, in their intestines. Kedenafkalam aparakama, mea alya tmima, umikroi tuva, ubesirchi dereya, mishem deshchicha batkina basrayo. However, but we always check the lungs. Why? Because by the lungs, it's very common that there are sirchas on the lungs. And therefore, we always have to check to make sure that the sirchos are not sirchos that are going to make the animal a treifa. That's what Rashi says. Obviously, this is a big sugya lahalacha, defining what glot is, what has to be checked, what doesn't have to be checked, the various ways of checking, certain sirchos that some hold are mutter to eat, others hold are not mutter to eat, way beyond the scope of my comprehension, way beyond the scope of the shir, because we got to get to the end of the daf. So says the Gemara now, Rav Yehuda Amar Bigdola. Rav Yehuda now says that by the outer paunch, the shear is a bigdola. By a large animal, the shear is a tefach, and by a small animal, the shear to make it a treifa is if rove of the outer paunch is missing. So Amar Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, Amar Rav Elazar, lo gdola gdola mamish, lo ktana ktana mamish. It doesn't mean literally big and literally small. Ela kol shenikra ba tefach v'lo avi beruva. If there's a tefach missing and it's not the rove of the paunch, zui shashino bigdola tefach, that's what we said, that by a large animal with a large stomach, the shear to make it a treifa is a tefach. Ruva v'lo avi tefach, if most of the paunch is missing but it's still not a tefach's worth of matter, zui shashino biktana baruva, that's what we said, that by a ktana becomes a treifa as soon as rove of it is missing. Says the Gemara, ruva v'lo avi tefach, if it's rove of the stomach is missing and that's not a shear tefach, pshita, then that's exactly what you told me is going to be a treifa, because then ruba kukulo. Lo tzricha davia tefach b'mashu. What if a tefach is missing and it's just less than a rove? So ma the tema adamikri ba tefach lo avi treifa. I might think that until there's actually a tefach missing, it's not a treifa. Kamash malan, no, it still is a treifa. Amar gneva, amar avasi, niktara kesela. If there's a circular hole the size of a sela, treifa, then it's a treifa. Why? I thought you told me that the shear is a tefach. What now are we talking about? A sela? So she'im timtech, because if you would stretch it out into a straight line, tamad ala tefach, a hole that's circular in shape, that's the size of a sela, if stretched out into a straight line, would actually be a tefach long. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba l'didi mefar shalamina, digneva amavra. We're talking about the mefar shalamina, digneva amavra. We explain what gneva said at the river crossing, dinarda, kesela kshera. If there's a hole the size of a sela, then it's kosher. Yes, or miksela treifa. If it's greater than the size of a sela, it's a treifa. Not like we said earlier that if it's a sela, it's a treifa. If it's a sela size, it's still kosher. If it's greater than the size of a sela, it's going to be a treifa. V'kama yes or mibisela, and how much is more than a sela? Amar Rav Yosef could go into eilis tlas kashiyasa bitzipa beduchta. If there is a hole in which three date pits can pass through tightly, if there's residue adhering to the date pits, that's the size of a sela, and below tzipa baravcha. And if There is no residue on the date pits. They could pass through the hole easily. Rashi explains this is the same shear. It's just that if there's some sort of sticky matter adhering to the date pits, then it's obviously going to be more difficult for the pits to pass by. So you're asking me, how large is a hole in order for the hole to be the size of a sella? So it's basically the shear of three date pits. And the shear of a sella is what is going to render an animal a trefa by the outer paunch. So again, the outer paunch is with a sella, or as we saw earlier, a tefach, they're the same shear. The inner paunch is a trefa if there's even a nekev kolshu in the inner paunch. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up, God willing, at the two dots tomorrow morning. Sure. Yeah.